Did you get a filling done by your dentist and it still hurts? Get a second opinion from a biomedically trained dentist at Dental Pros of Utah. Rebuild your teeth layer by layer with Kevlar fibers. You won't ever have tooth sensitivity ever again. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360, DentalProsOfUtah.com. Greg, what made you decide to bring back the Cougar Quiz? And you don't have to say that it was me. I know it wasn't me, but why'd you do it?
I got bored.
Well, I'm glad you got bored in the off season, man. It's got to be somewhat fun putting these together when you're concocting ideas for questions.
Well, you know, and of course, everyone's just waiting for the first quiz that that features either Ben Criddle and or Brian Logan. So that's maybe we'll make that happen soon.
Yeah, no, you already did. You already did me one. You don't need to involve me at all anymore.
But hey, Brian, man, hey, Greg, you can involve me, man. I'm not gonna. You know, I'm not gonna say no to that.
How many pass breakups?
I'll definitely work Brian in, and I think Ben needs to be an annual thing now that we did him last year. So
Ben should definitely have like
real weird though, like odd facts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like with broadcast, so there's always like that weird segment, but it's just implemented into the show, the program. That's what should happen with your quiz and Ben. Something just crazy off the wall.
I'm down with that. Greg, I'm gonna quiz you right now. How many pass breakups did Brian Logan have in his career? Can you, the encyclopedia, I know I'm testing you here, but can you remember?
Dozens.
Well, he did lead the, didn't you lead the NCAA one year in pass breakups?
Yeah, I was like second or tied or something like that.
You're stud, man. Greg, thanks so much for hopping on with us. We know you're busy, and every once in a while you get bored, so you do us a favor, you do us a solid, and hop onto our airwaves. Greg, so many things to get to, but I'm going to start off with the question of the day. It's not necessarily applicable to BYU sports necessarily, but I wanted to get your thoughts nonetheless. Why did Penn State get penalized for the Sandusky case by the NCAA, yet Baylor is coming away somewhat unscathed, the NCAA essentially being kind of hands-off in this in this issue?
Not ready for that one, Ben.
I know. I'm sorry. It's the question of the day, Greg, and I thought I'd start it off like that. It's a general question, but we don't need to address it. I know it kind of threw you off.
Yeah, I know there have been sanctions as to the extent the NCAA gets involved. The case may not be entirely closed. I know the Big 12 took their own measures institutionally and internally based on bylaws. It could be the criminality of the alleged events and where they've been prosecuted or not prosecuted to this point. Those could be a couple of the factors, but I just know that both demand and require requisite attention.
Greg, let's go to some BYU talk, BYU basketball talk. Eric Mika leaves to the NBA. He's going to be I think we're all hoping that he's a draft pick. Was it a surprise to you that he kept his name in the NBA draft and hired an agent?
No, I wasn't surprised.
Not surprised. What do you think about his progression from his freshman year to present day and just how quickly he has become an NBA prospect?
Well, he went from BYU's fourth leading scorer on a team with a lot more options as a freshman to being BYU's leading scorer last year and one of the more reliable inside players in the West. His free throw number was up considerably, which showed a lot of focus and determination and work ethic from his freshman to his sophomore season. And I think he and others realized that there even needs to be even more expansion to his game for him to find a real foothold at the next level just because of his size and the position he'll likely be asked to play as a professional.
In your opinion, can he progress better as a professional moving on to maybe the G League or even in the Euro League as opposed to coming back to BYU and developing as a West Coast Conference player?
I don't know. He seems to think that that if he's to be a professional power forward or a stretch forward, that he'll have to maybe get some reps on the perimeter that he wasn't getting at BYU. But, everything that's transpired, comes down to his personal and professional aspirations. And guys who stay the 4 years in college usually have collegiate aspirations that precede those of a professional. Not that they can't coexist. Jimmer played through his senior season. Davies, others have played through their senior seasons and still gone on to professional careers. It's just that Eric's for him right now takes precedence over the college experience. And that's clearly his prerogative, and no one begrudges him the ability or the current desire to go and tread that professional path now. I think everybody hopes that that their favorite college players stay for long college careers and become a group that accomplishes things that that people remember and that others can look back on and remember a certain group as a memorable squad. That won't happen with the team last season. Eric will be leaving to again take a different path. But again, I don't think anybody begrudges him the decision or the path he's taking.
Greg, as you look at the roster for next year, BYU fans, obviously they get their feelings hurt and they wanted Eric Mika to return. But what should they be optimistic about with those that are returning and those additions that are maybe coming back from missions and also being added to the roster?
Well, the players are good and the coaches are good and they get to create a chemistry and forge an identity that is very separate and different from something else that had maybe been imagined or anticipated or expected relative to kind of the core that had been assembled. And I think that's an exciting thing. I mean, to me, I'm genuinely intrigued and enticed and excited about what's to come next for BYU basketball. It feels not that there is any burden of expectation lifted, because Dave Rose will always expect to do, three particular things every season. That is, contend for a regular season championship, contend for a conference tournament championship, and advance in the NCAA tournament. That's an every year expectation. But now, because of what's transpired, this new group can kind of chart a new and unique course and still have a very successful outcome, I think, because the players are good and the coaches are good, like I said, and there is a tradition to uphold. And it's not as if BYU bottomed out like the first time that Dave Rose and Heath Schroyer were together on a coaching staff. Let's remember that they were together after the 1-25 season, and they helped build that thing back, and Heath was a big part of it, and Dave Rose was a big part of it along with Coach Cleave. And there was a real sense, because I was around for it. I mean, I was calling games at that time. There was a real sense that this BYU program was building something and doing so with a bit of an attitude. As in, no one believes in us, but we're going to show you. We're going to get back to the dance. We're going to win games. We're going to contend for championships. And those things all got done. And the situations are different now. BYU's not rebounding from a 1-25 season, but they are rebounding from a first-round NIT exit. And you know that it doesn't it's not good enough for Coach Rose, and that's one of the great things about the program is the guy leading it and his expectations, and so there is, I think, and I anticipate, kind of a sense that we're building again, we're going to build something up, we're going to do some special things again, even though the group is entirely different and maybe not the one that everyone thought they might have together.
Let's talk about Heath Schroyer. We were able to interview him. I'm extremely impressed by him. Talked with McKelly Wesley. I've chatted with my brother-in-law as well about this hire, and they're just ecstatic over it. What does Heath bring, in your opinion, that can help this BYU basketball team make positive steps in the right direction?
Well, first and foremost, he brings experience. He's been in the trenches as an assistant, as a head coach, at the highest levels in the game. He has BYU experience. I mean, so it's really the best of both worlds for Dave Rose. He brings in a guy who knows what it's like to work and thrive in Provo, and he's also had the other myriad experiences around the country at the highest levels, at the different spots you can occupy on the bench. The recruiting ties that he has, and just the fact that he brings a specialty in defensive basketball that for which he was known in his first stint and will probably be, I think, considered a constant in Heath's tenure. And so I think all those things are super positive, and a lot of my thoughts on the Heath Schroyer hire, guys, go back to my first stint working alongside Heath as a broadcaster when he was at BYU in the late 90s and early 2000s. And those memories are very fond, and the memories are of progress, and the memories are of intensity and a very demanding approach. And certainly, Heath, like anybody, over the years, will have modified in some instances and mellowed in perhaps some other instances, yet there is, at his core, a focus and a desire and an intensity that is real and genuine, and I think will really provoke some good results from the guys he's working with.
Kyle Van Noy called him the voice. It's Greg Rebell here on ESPN 960. Greg, yeah, there is a lot to be optimistic about with this BYU basketball team. One of the things I'm optimistic about is actually the guys that are returning, maybe some of the unknowns. We have the known entities, but then we also have the unknowns. Out of the unknowns, who do you expect to come in and make an impact?
Well, I know that Dave Rose really likes the length and shooting ability of Ryan Bergerson, a tall guard, fits really into what Dave wants to get done. The Jashir Hardnett acquisition is a player unlike that BYU's had for some time, and yet a player that's maybe caused BYU troubles on the other end. And so I like the novelty of Hardnett's acquisition. We already know what Zach Selyus can do. And those three guys there, just those three guys alone, they all shoot a really good three-point number. And BYU struggled to be consistent and productive and confident from the perimeter last year. Not that T.J. Haws and Nick Emery aren't great three-point shooters, because they are and will be, but there were only the two of them. No one else was really doing it from the outside. And so in losing Zach Selyus and Chase Fisher off the preceding season team and bringing in only T.J. Haws, the two-for-one trade-off, saw BYU lacking, I think, on the perimeter in a lot of instances. And what Dave Rose does is he brings in those three guys alone a good three-point number and more three-point options. And you really can't field, or you can't put on the floor just two guys that you feel really good about shooting that shot. And so Dave brings in a third, a fourth, and a fifth. And who knows if some of the bigs that he has currently in the program work on more on extending their range and shoot more of that shot next season and become more of a stretch four option for BYU. So while there are a couple of unknowns, probably only a couple in the Hardnett and Bergerson acquisitions we've talked about, everyone else we've seen before or will see in a different light coming off a mission. And so we have a pretty good idea of some strengths and weaknesses, but I think, again, that the unknowns are all pretty positive unknowns at this point relative to the new guys.
And Greg, relative to the guys that are returning, there's a lot of talent coming back. You know, what's some of your expectations that you have for this returning group next season?
Well, I hope and I expect Peyton Dastrup to take a big step from freshman to sophomore season. Those first seasons off of missions, especially since he didn't have a year of college before going, will generally feature some pretty prominent ups and downs. But when he was on the floor, you could sense the desire and the willingness to be active and contribute and do what the coaches wanted. And I think that will only become refined into a more productive role as a sophomore. Yoeli Childs already gave us a real strong hint of what's to come. And who's not excited about the expected progression of Yoeli Childs? So raw, yet so talented, such a fluid touch, and so active on the boards, expanding his role, maybe putting him into a different spot, closer to the basket, maybe taking on more of an Eric Mika role from time to time. I certainly think he could thrive in that particular role. Nick and TJ's play speaks for themselves. TJ became an all-conference first-teamer as a freshman. Nick Emery had one season under his belt, didn't have the accolades of his freshman year, but still put up some pretty good numbers, and I think he looks to finish the second half of his BYU career very strongly and again recapture some of that freshman season magic. I think Nick Emery is all in to improving as a player, being the leader Dave Rose needs him to be, still being a defensive presence, and just expanding his game all around.
Greg Rebell on with us here at Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Want to discuss a few football topics with you this offseason.
Just to quickly jump in before you go to football.
Yes, sir.
I didn't mention Elijah Bryant, and he's a big piece of this puzzle. The question with Eli is all health-related right now. I think one of the reasons Jashir Hardnett is a great acquisition for BYU is because there is some uncertainty about the role Elijah Bryant will be able to play with the question mark surrounding his knee. It's been a rough year for Eli in terms of getting that knee feeling good and being 100% for me more than a game or two or a week or two at a time. And so big question mark around Eli right now. We hope he answers it in the positive and affirmatively that he's well. But, you know, you could sense in listening to Dave Rose a couple of weeks back that he wasn't quite sure what he could say about expectations for Eli just for that question, because it wasn't maybe getting better as quickly as they hoped it would. So jury's out on Elijah, and it's all health-related. You know, we have a pretty good idea of what Eli can be and is when he's healthy. And the hope is, you really, really just hope that, you know, whatever's been ailing him is remedied in the next 5 or 6 months.
That being said, I mean, let's discuss Elijah for a moment. Now, it's not so severe that he would not play this next year, right, Greg? I mean, it's more so just, it's a knee injury, yes, but that he just has to manage maybe, and he just is not going to be as explosive. Is that the feeling you get, or is this something more serious than that?
I have no idea how to answer that, and I think it would be irresponsible to speculate.
Okay. Well, I totally understand. Greg, going back to that football talk, so recently, I mean, I'm seeing probably 5-6 articles talking about the quarterback out of Wyoming, Joshua Allen, who BYU faced in the Poinsettia Bowl recently. I got to ask you this question. If he's a first-round draft pick next year, as some people are purporting, what would that make Tanner Mangum? I mean, I'm looking at stats, I'm looking at tangibles, and there's not a whole lot of hype surrounding Tanner. Obviously, he sat the bench last year until the bowl game. But what do you think about Tanner Mangum's chances if Joshua Allen's up there getting this type of hype?
I think if Tanner had been a starter all of last season, there would be a lot more talk about him. His freshman year of 2 years ago, tends to get forgotten pretty quickly. In fact, I remember getting ready for the bowl game and hearing Allen's name mentioned as a possible draftee this current year. And a lot of what is written about Allen does talk about the decision he had to make just to come back for another season at Wyoming. And so I really do think, Allen played last year and Tanner really didn't, when it comes right down to it. And I think that's the biggest difference right now between, the publicity surrounding those two particular players. Let's give Tanner another season and another strong season and see what's talked about.
What do you think about the efforts that Coach Kalani and the rest of the staff have made in the recruiting world, and then also their infrastructure? It seems like the move to the pro-style system will ultimately pay it'll pay off in the end, because there's only maybe 5, maybe 6 college football teams now running the pro style. Bruce Arians coming out criticizing the lack of quarterback preparation that's going into these college football quarterbacks. Offensive linemen getting criticized by the Seattle Seahawks and other organizations. Looks like they're doing some good things there at BYU.
Well, you two are as close to the vibe as anybody, and know as former players what it really takes to succeed at this level. And whether you're running pro style or whether you're running something a little more unconventional, if you're not getting it done in the trenches, it's hard to be the best team that you'd want to the best team that you'd like to be. And I think Kalani and his offensive line coach and his defensive line coach are all united in the belief that a bigger, stronger team up front is going to allow BYU to do whatever it wants to do when it comes to moving the football. Regardless of the style they choose to employ, it really has to start in the guys protecting your quarterback and getting to the quarterback on the other side. And I think if we look back 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, I think one of the things we will probably have observed is that BYU did get bigger and stronger and better at those line positions, and hopefully put even a few more pros into the league at those spots. That's what I think we will expect to see if Kalani has his way and accomplishes what he aspires to as the BYU head coach. And beyond that, everything about getting first downs and however you choose to do it kind of comes off that first how that first question is answered.
Greg, last question for you. With the Cougar quizzes coming back, how did BYU's Cougar Nation do on that first quiz?
Well, I last checked it this morning, and low 60s was what it was. And the quiz was taken a couple thousand times in the last 24 hours. It's a pretty good sample size, low 60s for quiz number one, which I thought was a nice little entree into the off season. It wasn't overly challenging. I thought there were some gimmies in there for people, and I think, you know, low 60s is okay to get things kicked off. I was at lunch today, and couple of guys pulled out their iPhone and did their quiz while I ate lunch a few feet away from them. They proudly reported in with their 70, so above average for those guys. And yeah, I think that's a nice, respectable start to the off season, a 70%.
Greg, man, I may be different because I'm half smart. I got 40%. I was taking it while you were doing this interview, and Ben kept looking at me like, "What, you have a question?" And I'm like, "No,
I'm taking the quiz.
Taking the quiz, man. I'm sorry." I was like, "Yes."
It's nice to know Brian was fully engaged in this conversation. I
apologize. And the one that I'm most mad about is the wins, and obviously 2010, right? I played on that team.
Didn't even know.
I got issues, man. Just pray for me, Ben.
All you can do is pray. Greg, thank you for spending some time with us here on ESPN 960. I hope you're having a good off season as well. Keep up the Cougar quizzes. We love them, man. Thanks.
I'll try and slide a Brian Logan question in next week so we know that he's got at least one in the pocket going in.
Yes. I get like a 45% now. Yes, appreciate that, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys, anytime. Take care.
All right, have a good night. Greg Rebell, the voice of the Cougars on the Cougar IMG Sports Network, the professional, the Canuck of the Cougars. Love Greg and everything that he does. We're truly blessed to have him as our play-by-play guy there at BYU, the director of broadcasting as well. Does a fantastic job, and we appreciate his time on our airwaves. Did you get a filling done by your dentist and it still hurts? Get a second opinion from a biomedically trained dentist at Dental Pros of Utah. Rebuild your teeth layer by layer with Kevlar fibers. You won't ever have tooth sensitivity ever again. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360, DentalProsOfUtah.com.